Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, everyone. This is Pastor Kelly Harrop. I'd like to thank you all for calling in to Walking in the Footsteps of Jesus Ministry. Before we begin, let us all pray. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for this wonderful Sunday morning. And Lord, we thank you for all the mothers out there who took care of us when we were children, who still love us today as we love them. And those mothers who passed away, we still remember them as they are with you in glory, Lord Jesus Christ. We pray this in the name of Jesus, who reigns forever. Amen and amen. My friends, turn with me now to Acts chapter 15, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Okay, I'll let you all turn in your books. Okay, hold on, everyone, and let us begin. And certain men came down from Judea and taught the brethren, unless you are circumcised according to the customs of Moses, you cannot be saved. Therefore, when Paul and Barnabas had no small dissension and disputes with them, they determined that Paul and Barnabas and certain others of them should go to Jerusalem to the apostles and elders about this question. So being sent on their way by the church, they passed through Phoenicia and Samaria, describing the conversation of the conversion of the Gentiles, and they caused great joy to all the brethren. And when they had come to Jerusalem, they were received by the church and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all things that God had done with them. But some in the sect of the Pharisees who believed rose up saying, is it necessary to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses? Right here, my friends, this is where the church, even today, may have problems with adding her own religious thoughts within the circle of God. You're saying, what do you mean by that? Aren't they talking about Old Testament versus New Testament? Not really. But the Pharisees sect of the Christian faith fail to believe is by coming to Christ, it was through salvation, was it not now? Circumcision had nothing to do with salvation. When you look at the Old Testament law about circumcision among the children of Israel, it began with Abraham and later on through his descendants, Jacob and Isaac, then Jacob's children, and then their grandchildren, and throughout a generation. The male circumcision was supposed to be a covenant between God and the children of Israel. Nothing to do with salvation. Because no matter what you did, you sinned, and you were held guilty of it, or you're not now. And the only thing God had with the children of Israel first was a covenant with them, then the law. But the law only revealed their sins. And they had to keep on sacrificing each year to get a blood cleanse of their sins, but it didn't last that long. Now, with Christ Jesus, he changed all that. God changed all that, as he always planned to do, through himself. He was going to bore all the sins of the world upon himself and free us from the chains of sin when we accept him as our Lord and Savior and showed true repentance. And you know what true repentance is. True repentance is mainly you giving up what you did in your life and living your life now for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're not anymore living for your own flesh. You're not living a selfish life. You're not living anymore to please the flesh. You're living now to please the Lord God. Also, your spirit has been reborn, because now, with the Holy Spirit living within you, your spirit has become a baby and is growing now with the Holy Spirit feeding you spiritual milk to help you grow. And eventually, the spiritual fire makes you really grow. So now you're growing in the Lord. Now you are a totally different person, and you're living your life by the Spirit of God. You're not living the life for yourself. So, does circumcision mean that you have, in order to get salvation, does it mean that you have to achieve salvation through that? Certainly not. And that was Paul's argument, and that was Barnabas' argument. Also, we can look at how the church is today. We can look at some denominations. For example, if we look at the Mennonites or the Amish, somehow they believe by wearing certain clothing and riding a horse and buggy and no modern stuff, that somehow that is pleasing to God and somehow that is going to get them saved. Well, I would say that they do. I'm not putting any doubts that they probably do love the Lord. However, what they do to themselves is this. They're putting chains upon themselves that they do not need. When many other young people go out into the world, they rush to assume right away, because what they understand is you cannot do this, you cannot do that, you cannot do this, you cannot do that. What they're not taught is the love and freedom that Jesus Christ brings to all mankind. When you understand the love and freedom that Jesus brings to you, you don't have to wear certain clothes thinking that this is going to get you into heaven. What you wear is not going to get you into heaven, but who you are in Christ Jesus will. Now, I'm not talking about, someone may be a smart aleck and say, well, what if a woman dresses half naked? Well, the fact of it is, if she's dressing half naked and she's saying she's saved, I think she should be held accountable and dress modestly. I'm not saying wear a tent and cover up every single of your body, which you mean down to your ankles, and I'm not saying dress, and I'm not saying cover up your arms. However, now if your clothing is revealing your behind or your breasts, or more parts of your body than they should, you should dress modestly if you're saying you are a child of God. Now, this is, again, as I say, you don't have to dress like an Amish person. You don't have to dress dowdy. You can wear good clothing without showing skin, the skin part, like your, because you know there's people out there who dress up and some of their clothing is very revealing. If they wear a high skirt, that high skirt could actually slip up and you might see their private areas, even around their breasts. The breast could be too revealing when someone could actually see their breasts. And I'm saying is, you could dress nice without revealing that. And that's all I'm saying. And if you're walking with Christ, dress that way. All right? However, back to my point about laws and everything, you see, that's why we have so many denominations around the world, is because what has happened, we've added too many laws within our Christian walk. If we are the body of Christ, we shouldn't be fighting at all. And yet, we all will agree with each other that Jesus Christ is the head of our church, but yet, we will not allow a pastor who is called by God to preach, Jews, to preach within their church building. if it be a Methodist preaching at a Catholic church, or a Catholic preaching at a Methodist church, a Pentecostal preaching at a Baptist church, or a Baptist preacher preaching at a Pentecostal church. Why? We all agree that Jesus is the Lord and Savior. He saved us all from our sins. But somehow we get this feeling, because we belong to this denomination, we are of the right faith. Well, what is the right faith? The right faith is walking with Jesus Christ, is it not now? So we shouldn't be holding each other back, and we shouldn't be holding fellow brothers and sisters back from preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ within our church if they have a, if they happen to be a Baptist or a Methodist or a Catholic. Now, if they start preaching a doctrine that is not of the teachings of the apostles, let me say this. You do not let them preach inside your church, because if they're preaching a false doctrine, that is a different matter. But if they go coincide with what the apostles have taught, yes, you let them teach. Do you not now? So what I'm saying is, we are not acting like one body if we put our denominations first. If you ask someone if they are saved, they may tell you the denomination they belong to. Well, I'm a Baptist. I'm a Southern Baptist. I'm an Independent Baptist. I'm a Calvary Baptist. A United Methodist. I am a Wesleyan. I am a Pentecostal, Church of God, Church of Christ, etc., 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 Presbyterian, Lutheran, Catholic. But that's not going to get you to a heaven by having the denomination at the end of your name. That's not going to get you into heaven if you go to their little schools and teach you the history of their church. And in fact, they should be teaching you about how it is to be a Christian and how to walk with Christ, than the history of their church and how to be a good Methodist or a good Catholic, or good teaching you now how to grow in Christ. And what they should be using is the letters from Paul and the other apostles within the New Testament, and go with the book of Acts. Remember, rather than starting the new denomination, worry what happened when Paul and Silas and the Pharisees were butting heads. They had to go to Jerusalem and go before the apostles and go before the elders of the church to discuss this matter, right? And that's exactly what they did. They went to the church. They stood in front of the body of Christ and made their case and let the Holy Spirit lead them. And with the Holy Spirit lead them, they knew that circumcision was not a call for what? Salvation. Because if we were calling people who had no idea about Jewish customs, and we're saying, come to Jesus Christ, but first, yes, he saved you on the cross, but first, hold on now, yes, you were baptized in the name of Jesus, now you're saved, but yet you have to do one more thing to officially be saved. You must be circumcised, men. Well, that was chasing a lot of people away. Well, it's like, you're adding laws to laws. I thought I was already saved when I accepted him. I felt Jesus' fire, his Holy Spirit, come into me. And now you're saying I got more to do? I have to do this? Jump on one leg? Hop on my head? What? Well, you don't have to do anything like that. You don't have to be circumcised to be saved in the body of Christ. Just believe and change your ways. Repent and go and sin no more, and let the Holy Spirit baptize you. Change who you are and live according to his way, the Lord Jesus Christ's way. That's what gets you saved. And when you live that way, you are saved. You don't have to do anything else. It's that simple. Jesus made it simple for you and I to have access to the Heavenly Father through him. Nothing else. You don't have to pray to the Virgin Mary. You do not have to pray to, you don't have to pray to the saints. You do not have to have little beads and pray with your little beads as you count little beads as you pray. Just talk to God normally. pray to him, talk to him. That's all. Because you already have that access. There's no more chains upon you. There's no more heavy books of laws on your shoulders pouncing on you because you're living according to the way Christ wants you to live. You're free. That's it. So live freely. Act like a child of God. Live according to the word of Jesus Christ the way he wants you to live. You don't have to have all of these burdens put upon you by adding more laws and thinking that this will get you into heaven. Because when we start putting all these laws upon ourselves, we are also putting Christ's crown of judgment on ourselves when we say so-and-so isn't really saved because they come from that church. Oh, and we know how that those people of that church worships. Oh, they're not saved. Oh, that church. It's a cult church. They speak in. You know what they speak in? Psst, come here. Let me tell you what they speak in. They speak in tongues. Oh, my gosh. They speak in tongues. Oh, that never happened to my church. We can't have that. Tongue is a gift, my friends. And the fact of it is, I agree with you if you say, well, are you trying to say I cannot make it into heaven if I do not speak in tongues? No. You can make it into heaven without speaking in tongues, but the fact of it is, if the Lord's given you that blessing and that gift to give to you, why turn it away? Take the gift. Take the gift. But don't judge someone if they're speaking in tongues and say, well, my church doesn't believe in this. Well, you need to go back and read what the apostles said about speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is a gift that the Lord Jesus Christ gave to his church after Pentecost. So we have this gift within us. We should not be turning it away, and we should not be criticizing people tongues and calling them a cult and saying they're not really worshiping God, that they've got a demon in them. What about a demon that's making them speak in tongues? Now, how could a demon, why would a demon be in there? If people who speak in tongues are following what the apostles taught, bringing people to Jesus Christ and not doing things of the devil, why would a demon be in there having them speak in tongues and stand there as they're praising God to the highest and praising the Lord Jesus Christ to the highest? Why would they do that? No demon's going to stick around for that because the demons can't stand the name of Jesus. When they fear the Lord Jesus Christ's name, they tremble at his name. Why would they do that? The truth is, they would not. So what I'm saying is, to all the members of each church, let us not judge each other about how do we achieve salvation and saying the other person is wrong. I will say that if your church has strayed away from what the Word of God is teaching and you're beginning adding worldly things into it, you're in danger. And what do I mean by that, if you are in danger? I mean, if you put things like, again, like the Pharisees were trying to put across, that you had to be circumcised to be saved. Well, many churches have added other things into the denomination that gets people to think that they are saved, even including thinking that the pastor is the only authority who has access to God. So you can live your life the way you want to, but the pastor can absolve you of your sins. Well, the pastor can't do that. To want to be absolved of your sins, and the Holy Spirit absolves you of your sins, and you sin no more. Okay? Another thing is that when you start believing that you are allowed to gossip throughout your church and gossip about people within your church, and you're still walking okay with God because you've done all your religious rituals that you have done within your church. So so God thinks well of you. Well, no, really, because if you're doing that, God would have to owe the children of Israel an apology when they were going through that stage before they were conquered by Babylon. Remember, they were doing a lot of things that were worshiping him and also worshiping pagan gods. So you can't think that somehow you're going to get a special deal out of this if you think you could have your foot, one foot in the world and one foot in heaven. It's like, if you're that way, you're basically lukewarm, and either God either wants you cold or hot. He doesn't care for lukewarm worship. He wants hot worship. He wants burning hot worship. He wants you to be so on fire for him that even his feet get all burnt up through his own spirit because you're praising him so much, and that's what he wants. He doesn't want the lukewarm worship. He wants you to be on fire for him. Also, don't gossip. And when we have a brother or sister in Christ, if they're in trouble or any kind of trouble befalls them, we should pray for them. We shouldn't be saying, well, figure that I was new, they weren't walking with Jesus. Look at their family. Look what they're being accused of. It must be true because it's in the newspaper. So it must be true. Well, no, the outside world is attacking one of our own. When the outside world attacks one of our own, we should be up there defending one of our own and let our own know that we are praying for them. We don't throw them aside and turn them away. We are there for them. So let's not act like the world. And my friends, when I talk about, again, religion being within our faith, that causes much confusion among people. And it does cause people to fall away. As we go back over here in Acts, a lot of Gentile men were being turned away from Christ because they were told for them to be saved, they would have to be sacrificed. And that had nothing to do with them. That circumcision was merely a covenant between God and the children of Israel. Now, our circumcision is a spiritual circumcision under Christ Jesus. The spiritual circumcision is our lives are changed spiritually, and we are grafted within the children of Israel, which means, men, you don't have to get a circumcision to be part of the body of Christ. Believe, let his Holy Spirit run through you, and let him lead you. That helps you become part of the body of Christ. And we have conflicts in the church when we start putting religion within it, we do chase people away. Why do you think so many people, thinking that they could come to Christ Jesus, at one moment they're at the altar, and the next moment they go away? Perhaps we're putting religion onto them instead of teaching them about now go and sin no more. And let me tell you more about how it is to walk with Jesus Christ. Don't put your religion on them. Just open up what the apostles taught through the Holy Spirit and let that lead them. And also, a mistake many people have is when someone goes to the altar and the pastor says that person is saved, not really knowing if they are or not. Pastors don't say that unless a person truly is saved. And you know if they're saved, if they're really on fire for Christ and want to hear more about his word or hungry to hear about his word and ask you so many questions, you know that they are saved because if they have the Holy Spirit, the fire of the Holy Spirit is living with them right there, and it's right there moving them, you know that they are saved and they're baptized through the Holy Spirit and they want to be baptized themselves. When someone who says they're saved and doesn't want to be baptized, they're not saved. Because you would want to be baptized, because Jesus wants all his children to be baptized, because that is part of it. Now, again, keep on walking with the Lord out there, my friends. Don't allow religion to confuse you and make you feel that you're not worthy of walking with the Lord. My friends, we all need a savior, and there's no perfect Christian out there. However, each person who is saved understands. They're not going to get to heaven because they read the Bible all the way through, or how many times they read the Bible, how many times they preached the gospel, how many times they testified, how many times they went evangelizing. To heaven is because they gave hearts and bodies and soul to the Lord Jesus Christ, because we asked Jesus, like the man dying upon the cross with him, remember me, remember me, and I'll give my life for you. And that's how it is, and that's how you are saved. Remember me, Lord Jesus. That's how you were saved and brought in the house of the Lord, because you accepted Christ Jesus as your Savior. It's not the religion that you belong to is going to get you saved. It's not how many of the Bible quotes you understand is not going to get you saved. It's by believing and changing your heart and walking with the Lord Jesus Christ that is going to get you saved. Believing in Him and living your life changed through Him, by let Him, who is the Lord Jesus Christ, slay you by the Spirit and making you reborn into a new creature spiritually. When you're reborn spiritually, you are now a new person in Christ. Why would you want to even backslide? I know there's churches out there, this is what I say about religion, who teach you, may teach you, you just can't help it, but you have to sin anyway. You don't. Live and walk in the Spirit. Read your scripture every day. Study it. Understand it. If you don't understand it right away, ask someone who is knowledgeable about it. Have them mentor you. That is what they're supposed to do, is mentor young people. Young people of the Spirit, I should say, because you could be 80 years old or 107. And when your spirit is revived, your spirit is as a newborn baby. And that's why I say young people of the Spirit. Young people of the Spirit need to be taught through Scripture how to follow Christ. Amen, amen. Because you want to know how to keep on living for the fear of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to know that. But it's when arrogance comes in there, and you start bragging about how many times the Bible verses, or perhaps you never had a sick day in your life, and you came to Christ. That's not bringing anyone to Christ right there. If you're going to brag about yourself, what brings people to Christ is how humble, how they watch how humble you are, how happy and content you are in your life, because you do walk with Christ. And they want that too. So teach them about the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach the new ones, the new babes in arms, how to grow in Christ. And it's all right to receive the gifts that Christ offers you, as prophecy, preaching, teaching, and speaking in tongues, and the gifts of healing. Remember, Christ uses us as a tool. He used Moses as a tool when he freed the children of Israel. Those powers were not Moses' powers. Moses may have lifted his arms up, but it was God who parted the Red Sea, not Moses. When Peter healed the crippled man in the book of Acts, it wasn't Peter who healed the crippled man. It was the power of the Lord Jesus Christ through Peter that healed him. The cloths that Paul used to heal people, yes, Paul touched them, but it wasn't the power of Paul that made those cloths healing cloths. It was the power of the Holy Spirit that came through Paul that were upon those cloths that healed people. Those are the gifts. And my friends, I'm not saying if you don't have those gifts, you're not going into heaven, but God will give you a gift if you want the gift. Oh, amen, amen. So be humble before the Lord and don't criticize someone who has the gifts that God has given them. If you want those gifts too, God's more than likely, he will give them to you. And when I say that, I say this is because the conflict of the church can either go either way, because I know some people say that if you don't speak in tongues, if you don't have these gifts that the Lord gives you, you're not truly saved. And I'd say that's not true at all. However, I do say that for some people who have been believe it, God, our Lord, our Father, is not going to give us these gifts if we do not believe in those gifts. However, when we get to heaven, we're going to be mighty surprised that we rejected gifts that we should not have rejected in the first place. Amen? So don't reject any gift that God wants to give you. If God wants to give you prophecy, take it. If God gives you the gift of tongues, take it. If God wants to heal people through you, take it. And what I'm saying is, take anything that the Holy Father, our Heavenly Father, is wanting to give to you and I, because that's what he wants to give us. But coming back to religion, do not let religion tear us apart. We as the body of Christ should not be in conflict with each other. When we had disagreements, we should take it up as they did in Jerusalem and talk among each other about this. The Holy Spirit lead us in this discussion so we can make the right decision through the Lord Jesus Christ instead of shaking our fists at each other and storming out of the building and saying, we don't want to worship with you again. We'll start our own denomination. No. Let the Holy Spirit lead you and let God bring peace among us as the body of Christ. And let us follow Christ and let his words in the Bible be the cornerstone of our belief. Let us not add to something we have no right to add to. Let the cornerstone be God's word itself, and then we will be fine and be a united body in the Lord Jesus Christ. My friends, we're going to stop here for today. Lord Jesus Christ, we thank you for today. We pray for those out there who needed to hear this word, that you've touched their lives in this way, Lord Jesus Christ. And Lord Jesus Christ, we pray for the body of Christ to be out there and be a bold body and have revival out there and stop fighting among ourselves over our own interpretations of religion. Let us not start adding our own interpretations on our own and putting our own religion within your body, Lord. Let us use your word as the cornerstone of our belief as we are supposed to do. And let us then be truly united in your body as we are supposed to be, Lord Jesus Christ. For we pray this in the name of Jesus Christ, who reigns forever and ever. Amen. Amen. My friends, I'm glad you all called in. I'm glad you all will download this program later. And my friends, remember, Tuesday night at 6 o'clock p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Brother Johnny Embry has agreed to come back and talk with us again. So remember, 6 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, we'll have Johnny Embry. It'll be 5 o'clock Central Time at 6 o'clock Eastern Time. So, my friends, we'll be back again Tuesday night to listen to Brother Johnny Embry. May the Lord Jesus Christ bless your lives, and may you walk with the Lord Jesus Christ forever. Amen and amen.